Crash, Bandicoot. You've got a lot of people clamoring.
He's so Bandicoot.
You are listening to Trophy Horse with your hosts, Tricky Mick, Alex, I Yield to No One,
Steve,
and Sid.
And welcome to Trophy Horse. This is episode 422, and the room feels a little bit empty this week, because this week it's just me and Yield. Tricky's not here. Tricky, he must be so distraught after the Fiend lost to Goldberg in Saudi Arabia at Super Showdown. Well, either that, or he's meticulously checking the ticker for the updates in the Homer versus Yield Platinum Chase.
Yeah. He started talking some smack, and...
Hold on, when did this become a thing? Because I just saw him and posted on Facebook, and I was like, well, okay, I guess they're racing.
So what happened was, so Sony did their, you know, hey, this is what, you're like, you're in gaming, you know, where we got our avatars and theme and stuff like that. Well, so we were posting it online, and my brother got like 5 platinums last year. I only got 2, and I said, wow, you out-platinum me this year. Congratulations. And then, like, a few days later, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to up my game. Or it was the end of last year when this all came out. So, like, right before the first of the year, you're like, you know what? I'm gonna up my game this year, and I'm going to out-platinum you. And I think I said it on the show. He was like, oh, really? And I'm like, well, yeah. So, when he called me out, oh, what was it? Like, Friday? Like, I've got 2 platinums to your 1. I was like, oh, so it's on now. Okay. So I tied him, and then he quickly today texted me, and he's now up 1 more. So it's going to get serious.
So you guys aren't just going for Mario Kart. You guys are going for blood now and platinums. Blood and platinums.
Oh, yeah. We're going for platinums now. It's on like Donkey Kong. It's a long year, though. We'll see what happens here at the end of December, but the gloves are off.
Do you think the pace is going to slow down? Are you guys going to get tired of doing this?
He might. I can beat him.
I mean, I know you're a hardcore racing fan, but the kind of racing games you play, this is a different kind of speed here.
This is a different kind of speed. You know, if he beats me, he beats me, but I can do this.
All right, well, Yield, let's get an update on our trophy counts. Let me go ahead and read everyone else's. You, of course. You've got the power of sight, so you can read your own, and I don't want to take the credit away from you.
Okay.
Tricky is level 55 with a total trophy count of 12,941 with a platinum count of 238. I am level 31 with a total trophy count of 6,924 and a platinum count of 102 in 101 games, while Sid sits very nicely at level 40 with 9,523 total trophies and 171 platinums. Yield, sir.
Yes.
You're up.
So I'm at a level 28 with a trophy count of 5976 and a nice shiny new platinum on my wall at 94.
What would the platinum be in, sir? And this, of course, can bleed into our what we've been playing.
So, it was Wreckfest. So I got the platinum in Wreckfest.
What was the final trophy that was hanging on?
The one that I got was complete... all the career challenges was my last one that I got. I went ahead after I finished the career mode. I then decided to go back and get my online trophy, which was win 20 races. So I thought I was going to kind of have to farm it out once they added in private lobbies. I figured, you know, private lobby, get another, you know, individual from PlayStationTrophies.org to jump in, and we would just kind of trade off 20 wins. But I was able to get into a room one day, maybe a month ago, a couple weeks ago, and I was able to rattle off like 10 wins. There was only like 3 of us in the room, and I was able to rattle off several wins. And so I was able to knock out my online trophy, last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. And then so all, I went back, and all I had to do was just knock out some single-player trophies. And the last one I got was complete all the career challenges.
Well, now that you've completed all the career challenges and attained the platinum, is your career for Wreckfest over, or are you going to keep playing even though you've got all the trophies?
You know, I will probably dive back in, because shortly after I got, I think the day after I got the platinum, or the day I got the platinum, I saw that they're, you know, of course the game auto-updated. Well, they added a new track. So I'm going to have to mess around with this new track, because it sounds kind of cool. It's kind of a high-banked oval, kind of like a high-banked dirt oval. So it seems kind of cool. And then, of course, I bought the game that had the season pass with it. So I've gotten a couple of the car packs, and one of them is this real sick-looking monster truck.
Anything else you've been playing, Yield?
So I've been playing World of Warships Legends, King's Quest, and I've dived. As soon as I got Wreckfest done, I'm like, okay, I need to work on this. One, I got to work on my backlog. But also, I've got several games that I've started, sat down, moved something else, started, sat down, moved something else. I'm like, you know, I need to get Jedi Fallen Order done, because I really do enjoy it. So I dove back into it Saturday, and I was playing a lot of it today. And man, I'm really love the story. And the combat is starting to get better for me, because I finally got I learned.
You've got a better hang of it. You're more used to it.
That, and I learned, air quotes, or bought the upgrade for stronger lightsaber attacks. So, you know, now I'm doing more damage along with all the other attacks that I'm doing, and I'm trying to be more better at varying my attacks from single lightsaber to dual lightsaber and all that. And then, so, well, no, I won't say it, because it'll ruin the game for those who haven't played it yet or thinking about playing
it. We don't
it.
Like spoilers, Yield. Stay away from the spoilers. That's what gets you blacklisted.
That's what gets me blacklisted. So I won't tell you. But the if you're not as good as combat with me, hang in there. I might be halfway through the game. I might be. I don't really know. But it finally starting to click. So I'm feeling really good. I had a couple of boss battles, not like major boss battles, kind of like mid boss battles, and I handled myself fairly well. So I'm kind of patting myself on the back. Maybe everything's clicking now.
Very nice. I have been playing more Crash Team Racing, of course, the Gosmoxia Grand Prix, and yeah, that's about it. I'm probably going to be, I don't know, I'm going to be kind of a vagabond as far as video games go. I'm probably going to play things I've already bought, a whole lot more Pokemon, until the release of The Last of Us Part 2. So, hopefully Tricky can add a little excitement and flavor to our what you've been playing. Well, I mean, you do a good job, because I'm certainly not bringing my A game.
Well, I mean, you're doing your Crash Team Racing, and you're doing your Switch stuff.
I mean, here's the thing, like, I know that the listeners, they want to hear, like, about all the new games and everything, but, like, I've found this game that there's so much value for me in that I'm playing it still, even after, like, 8 months, that, I mean, I guess it can get kind of boring for listeners, but I don't try to talk about it for a half an hour, like, you know.
Yeah.
When I first start talking about a game, yeah, I'll go on, like, a monologue for, like, 5 minutes, but, you know, I try not to bog people down, like, yeah, I play the same game, and I guarantee there's a lot of listeners out there that like to play the same game they've been playing. You know, they get a ton of value out of one game, and they can play it for a year or more, and just enjoy that, you know, maybe yeah. A few other games on the side, but, right now, my main squeeze as far as video games goes is still Crash Team Racing, amazingly, which, again, is, you know, just more evidence that Beanox did a really great job with the game, as well as the post-launch content, so... But that allows us, Yield, to jump into more exciting things, including the announcement of the PlayStation Plus games for March.
Awesome.
Which become available on March 3rd, and of course you have until April 6th to download these. So, the games for this month are Shadow of the Colossus and Sonic Forces. Now, while I'm not the biggest Sonic fan in the world, I know that Sonic does have his following, so I'm sure that a lot of people will be excited for that. But I do know quite a few things about Shadow of the Colossus, having beaten it multiple times, having the Platinum in the PS4 version, as well as owning the PS2 version and the PS3 version of it. It's an amazing game. It's my favorite game ever, so if you have the... If, if you have the space, or just, you know, just when March 3rd rolls around, or the next, you know, in the ensuing days, make sure that if you have not played Shadow of the Colossus, or if you haven't bought the PS4 version, at least go purchase, and I'm saying purchase with air quotes because it's a free game for PlayStation Plus for the month, so go purchase it, and, you know, you can always download it and play it later. You don't have to play it this month, but go get a hands-on, go get your hands on that game, because it is an amazing experience.
Now, I'm not hip on how these games fall. Shadow of the Colossus is the second of the three games. Am I correct in this?
Yes, so it goes Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, and then The Last Guardian. No one really knows how the timeline actually falls. That's the date they were released. Other people speculate that Ico comes after Shadow of the Colossus in the mythology because of the events that happen at the end of the Shadow of the Colossus, and then kind of clues on the character in Ico, the main character.
So someone like me who's never played any of them, do I need to play Ico first, or can I just jump in with Shadow of the Colossus and be perfectly fine? They're kind of their own standalone games.
Having played both Ico and Shadow of the Colossus and finished them both, Shadow of the Colossus, like I said, many, many times, and playing partway through The Last Guardian, the games all act within the same universe. However, I don't feel like they're so tightly wound or connected that you need to play. I mean, you can enjoy Shadow of the Colossus as a standalone experience.
Okay.
And you can enjoy Ico as a standalone experience, although it's a little bit too hand-holdy for me, how you have to protect Yorda and the combat system is really crappy. So having played Ico years and years later after its release, I wasn't a huge fan of that game. But I'd say that, you know, I'm sure there's a whole community of people out there that have created or, like, figured out the lore within Shadow of the Colossus and Ico and the whole universe and tied them all together. But for me, I've played the games, and I don't think they're so tightly wound or so connected that you need to play them to get an overarching story. I think you can enjoy them just as their own.
Okay, awesome. Because I'm definitely picking putting Shadow of the Colossus in my library.
And it's not a super long game, and it's fun, and it's very unique, and the story kind of lets you fill in the holes. It's very mysterious. So, I mean, it's not like it's going to soak up 100 hours of your time, either.
That's even better.
So yes, go get Shadow of the Colossus, and you know, if you're a Sonic fan, Sonic Forces is out there too. Sonic, of course, one of the fastest characters in video game history, rushing around everywhere. It seems, though, that not everybody is rushing to GDC, and if you are rushing to GDC, well, you might want to hold your horses, because the Game Developers Conference has been postponed due to concerns over the coronavirus. This information comes from an article in Game Informer, GameInformer.com. This comes on the heels of companies like Sony and Microsoft, EA and Activision Blizzard actually pulling their attendance from GDC, which is part of the concern is that it's an international conference, so you got people coming from all over the world, and as we've seen, coronavirus is spreading, not just from Asia, but it's also, we had a death in the US the other day, it's also in the Middle East, it's in Italy, so this thing is spreading worldwide, and obviously an international conference is going to cause some concern. The article talks about if you have hotel, that they're going to be refunding everybody who bought tickets, if you have hotel accommodations, if you need to cancel those, you will not be penalized for that. So basically, you're going to get your money back. I know it's disappointing not to be able to go to GDC, but at the same time, like, this is a very big issue, big global issue, so at least you're getting your money back, and, you know, hopefully you can make plans to go another year. The EESA, who also runs E3, is watching the situation very closely in case any precautions need to be taken with that, which, of course, happens every year in Los Angeles. So, Yield, obviously, this comes on the heels of our episode last week, where we talked about the Sony pulling out of PAX East, and the Boston mayor making his dumbass comments about Sony feeding into racial stereotyping. Clearly, it's not just Sony, it's other companies that show these concerns. The GDC as a whole, it's not just the developers and the platform holders, GDC as a whole has decided to say, you know what, we're going to postpone this because we're really worried about this. E3, the people who run E3 have shown concern. So this is clearly not just Sony. This is actually something that the Boston mayor should have shut his fucking mouth about. And yeah.
Well, I can see the concern for people going, well, you know, why postpone it? But I won't say good of humanity, but for the betterment of the people and so that there isn't a possibility for it to spread more. I don't condone GDC for postponing and E3 for looking into it and going, you know what? You know, maybe we should start talking about it, because it is an international conference.
Well, I think, hold on, you know, sorry to interrupt, but I think you used the word condone incorrectly there.
Okay.
I just don't want people to misconstrue what you're saying.
Okay.
You're siding with GDC and the ESA.
Yeah, I am. I think it's smart to postpone and at least talk about it as EA or E3's point from. It's an international conference, so you got people coming in from all around the world to, one, not only just cover it, but then to also show their games. And so, although it's disappointing maybe for some of the smaller devs who can't get in there, you know, this might be their one big shot. I think it's good for the public in the sense, so that way you don't run the risk of blowing this thing more globally than it already is, because it could just take one conference to make this wildfire even worse.
Well, and there are still a lot of people out there who completely discredit the idea that this is a threat to anyone. I think the fact that thousands of people have died from it and the fact that it's spreading to multiple countries and continents on the Earth, I think that's a huge concern. But, you know, it's good to see that the video game industry is not just thinking about profits, that they are actually taking this seriously. They're not making light of the situation. And, you know, GDC being postponed, they can always do it at another point. They can always do it another month, another time in the calendar year. And, you know, if it has to be canceled 1 year, it's not the worst thing in the world. We've had other shows and events canceled before. For public safety and for people's well-being, it's the smart thing to do.
Yes, I agree.
And it seems like Platinum Games has always had a very strong knowledge of the video game industry and kind of had their pulse on their fingers on the pulse of the video game industry and what people want to see. They've always had their hands in many pots, and, you know, one of the problems coming out of Platinum Games, at least at this point, is that they haven't really had enough people on their teams to take on the number of projects that they want to take on. This story comes from Matt Kim at IGN, and it talks about basically how Platinum Games is hired up. They are opening a new office in Tokyo. The current office is in Osaka, so they have an Osaka studio as well as a Tokyo one. And they currently have 240 employees, according to their COO, Atsushi Inaba. They want to bring on 100 more employees, so take the number up to over 340. And they basically just want to work on as many games as possible. Now, of course, Platinum Games is known for stuff like Mad World and Bayonetta. They're also known, of course, for Vanquish, which you have heard all us talk about many, many times here on the show, and how difficult it is. Of course, they're coming out with the remakes or the collection for Bayonetta and Vanquish very soon for the current generation of consoles. But, of course, Platinum Games has had also done plenty of other things. They did a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles brawler. I think Mutants in Manhattan was the name of it. They also paired with Square Enix on Nier Automata. And, they're working closely with Nintendo on the Bayonetta series and Star Fox as well. So, Platinum Games, they do a lot. They have their own IP, but they also help partner with many studios to create games. And, you know, I know they've kind of been a studio that's been hit and miss. Mad World, not all that great. Fun for a while, gets kind of monotonous. Bayonetta is a fantastic action series. Love it to pieces. Vanquish, incredibly fun. You know, adrenaline packed. I again would recommend that, I talked about Shadow of the Colossus, but if you have a chance to pick up the Bayonetta and Vanquish collection, it's due, because you'll have a ton of fun with that. Just thrilling action games if you're an action game junkie like I am. But then again, there was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, which was a huge miss. And, you know, so they've been kind of hit and miss, so I think people kind of don't always know what they're going to get with Platinum Games, although, you know, stuff like Nier Automata hit really well. But the fact that they are expanding, especially when, you know, we're so used to the video game industry of studios closing and shrinking, the fact that they're expanding and taking on more with their capabilities and their know-how and knowledge, I think that's amazing. Like, I want to see more from Platinum Games. Even if they miss sometimes, their games, when they do hit, are so incredibly fun that it's worth it just to, you know, to see what they can put out. Yield, I don't think you've dabbled much with Platinum Games, have you?
No, I haven't. Although their new IP, codename Project GG, the trailer that was teased, it looks kind of interesting. Did you see it?
Yeah, here, why don't you give your thoughts on that and tell people kind of what the trailer is all about. You can go to YouTube and look up the Project GG teaser trailer. But, Yield, why don't you give your thoughts on that?
You've got, just kind of give you an overlay of it. So, it kind of focuses on some people walking around. You got this dog. Big crash happens. Dog's scared. It focuses mainly on dog. People are running. Dog's scared. It's hooked to a leash. Can't go anywhere. And it looks like it's about to get thumped, you know, get laser shot or something. And as it goes behind the dog and looks up to, like, this laser blast that's about to come down, a shadow figure runs in front of it, like it's going to take it on. And then it, like, transforms into this giant robot. And then it kind of goes to a side view. And, like, this giant robot goes after what looks like a giant monster. And they, like, lock horns. And it's like, whoa, that looked kind of cool. And that's where it leaves. So I'm interested to see where this goes, because that I don't know, there's something about it that's like, yeah, I could play that.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at some of the screenshots of it as well. I mean, there were only a handful, I think there were five. But, I mean, from the pictures, it looks like there is, like, a human main character, and standing behind that character is a wolf. And they're looking out at, like, this very, outer spacey kind of, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like almost like a blast, like this emitting this blue aura, this blue light. And in the ensuing screenshots, you see like a figure, like almost this ghostly figure in the blue, coming out of the blue aura. And then even beyond that, it's a picture of a city, like a long view picture of a city, and it almost looks like a kaiju is coming out of smoke, out of the aura. So I don't know if this is kind of like a love letter to like the Godzilla type genre of movies with the giant kaijus, like along Pacific Rim, that whole kind of subgenre of movie. But Yield, did you see that? Did you get that out of the screenshots, like a kaiju?
I got the Godzilla feel. I don't know if I got the kaiju feel, but I mean, I definitely...
Kaiju is just like a giant, like, monster, like in you would see in Pacific Rim, like the giant robots they build to fight off the giant monsters. Like, I mean, like Godzilla itself, I would consider, like, and the monsters that he fights, like kaijus.
Okay, then yes, that was the feel that I got from it.
So yeah, like I said, the opening screenshot, and like I said, go for the full effect, go see the trailer. But the opening screenshot looks like it's focusing on this one main character with the dog. I called it a wolf. At Yield, you clearly called it a dog. Kind of facing this blast, this blue blast, and it looks like you can see, like, a bridge. Like, there's rubble coming towards the main character, and a bridge almost, you can faintly see it in the background. So, clearly, this city's under attack, and I think it's a game based around kaijus.
Either way, it looks like fun.
So, you haven't played much of what Platinum Games put out, but would you buy into this game, just based on this concept? If I'm right.
Based on the concept, if done right, yeah. I'm all for it. Let's do it.
And Sony, you know, we get enjoyment from playing games, but Sony oftentimes will reward us by playing games. Of course, if you get so many platinum trophies or, you know, accrue so many points on the PlayStation Network, if you signed up, like Tricky, you can earn money back to use on the PlayStation Store just for playing games. Sony has launched the PlayStation Player Celebration. We're actually in the midst of it because Yield said he caught this a little late. But Yield, why don't you tell the listeners about it, because you seem to know a little bit more about this than I do.
Okay, so I was scrolling through Twitter on Monday, and I saw this thing. I believe the tweet came from Push Square. And Sony had did a PlayStation Player Celebration campaign. I believe sign up started February 18th. I think it kicked off on Monday. I'm not sure. But, anyway, to give you the gist of it, I'm pulling this article from PlayStation.com. PlayStation Player Celebration. Join us as we celebrate the PlayStation community to win exclusive prizes, including themes, avatars, and for a lucky few, a real-life platinum trophy engraved with your PSN ID. So basically what they're saying is over the last 6 years, they've had more than 100 million players come together to experience incredible stories and adventures on a number of unforgettable PlayStation 4 games. So to celebrate the players, they're having a community contest. A community contest. They want the community to join together to play towards a set of goals to win exclusive prizes. So what you got to do is you got to sign up. Like I said, I pulled this from PlayStation.com. There's a button to click to register here. And the simple thing you just do is you just play games. You play games and you earn trophies. Doesn't matter what game, you know, doesn't matter how many games or whatever. You just have to sign up so that way they know that the trophies that you're getting in the games that you're playing counts towards the community goal. So like I said, as of March 1st, the day we're recording, we've already done Community Goal 1. So if you were a part of Community Goal 1, I believe I saw a tweet last week saying that you should expect your code sometime this week. And we're already on to Community Goal 2, and as of recording, we've already played a number allotted of games, and we're 86% there for the trophies. So, as for what are the goals? So, goal one, we had to play 120,000 games and earn 500,000 trophies, which, like I said, we already completed it. Completed it in less than a week. And for that, everybody who was a part of that gets an exclusive PlayStation 4 static theme and an exclusive PSN avatar. And so, like I said, it started to February 24th. The community completed it in a week. And so they've already decided to fire up goal two, which is 375,000 games, 1.5 million trophies. For that, you get 5 exclusive PSN avatar images, which looks like, from the picture here on PlayStation.com, it looks like a picture of Nate, a picture of Joel and Ellie, and one of Aloy. Community Goal 3, which starts when Community Goal 2 is completed, we got to do 675,000 games, 2.7 million trophies earned. And for that, you get an exclusive PlayStation 4 dynamic theme, which looks like it's got, like the screen's kind of angled, split into quarters, and you've got Last of Us, God of War, Uncharted 4, and Horizon Zero Dawn as what it is. Now for the PlayStation Trophy, or the Platinum Trophy. Supposedly on March 17th, I should say supposedly, because that's the actual firm date. On March 17th at 11 a.m. Pacific time, you will get a chance to answer some skill-based questions on PlayStation.com for your chance to win an exclusive PlayStation kit. And it says you must have signed up for the PlayStation Player Celebration previously to be eligible. So if you want to be eligible for this, you need to sign up before March 17th. So you answer some skill-based questions. What? I don't know. It just says coming soon. For that, you get an opportunity to win a real-life platinum trophy engraved with your PSN ID. You get a $100 PlayStation Store voucher, and you also get a voucher codes for selection. You get a voucher codes for selection of our greatest PlayStation 4 games. The ones shown in the picture, of course, are Horizon, God of War, Last of Us Remastered, and Uncharted 4. I'm going to guess are probably all of the greatest hits, not just those four, but you never know. But I thought that was pretty cool, the fact that, you know, Sony's doing something like this, and it's a community thing, and I think it's cool. It doesn't cost you anything. You just sign up, and I think you got to click. I signed up on my phone and did it kind of quick. I think you just basically have to go, yep, I checked out the rules. Yep, I checked out something else you got to check out. And then after that, that's it. You're good to go. You're registered. And all you just do is just play games.
Yeah, you get rewarded for doing something you would already do. And this fits in nicely with Tricky's participation in the Backlog Beatdown, as well as your little platinum race with Homer.
Yeah, it does. So if you haven't signed up yet, I suggest doing so, because it doesn't hurt. And even if you don't, like in Alex's case, who isn't really earning trophies, but he's playing Crash Team Racing, you know what? That counts.
Yes. Crash Team Racing always counts.
It always counts.
So, the Game Awards sports/racing game of the year, Crash Team Racing.
So there you go, Alex. Sign up. Get free stuff.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to do it tonight, and I'll probably forget. So unless you text me and remind me, it's probably not going to happen. But I appreciate you pushing me to be better and be rewarded for playing the games.
I'll text you on the 17th or the 16th to remind you to try to at least enter for the Platinum Trophy, because that's sweet. I'd like to have a Platinum Trophy. Put that on my entertainment center. Oh, yeah.
That would be sweet, but would it be as sweet as Samurai Jack? Of course, Samurai Jack was aired. It's getting around like 20 years ago when Samurai Jack first debuted, which is crazy to say.
But that was, it's amazing. You haven't seen it, you need to watch it.
Samurai Jack, the beloved Cartoon Network cartoon, comes to your PlayStation, your PC, your Xbox, or your Switch, so no matter who you are, if you have a console, you're going to be able to play it. Samurai Jack Battle Through Time is a new video game coming from Soleil Games and being published by Adult Swim Games. This article, of course, this article comes from IGN and Matt Kim. Matt Kim's all over the place today on Trophy Horse. What's up with this? Thank you, Matt, for your contributions to this week's show. But yes, Samurai Jack Battle Through Time, you can pick it up this summer. It retains, I've seen the video, it retains the beautiful art style that is known from the Samurai Jack show, what it made famous and what it made so appealing. To quote the article, Samurai Jack Battle Through Time is set before Jack's final fight with Aku, an evil entity that trapped Jack in alternate timelines throughout human history. Jack will have to fight his way through several different timelines in order to reach Aku and defeat him. I wonder, first of all, if Aku is related to the mask from Crash Team Racing, Aku, twice the Aku. But also, the whole theme of going through time, like, I know it's not new, but even before, like, I thought about Sly Cooper just now, like, this made me think of Turtles in Time, where you had to, like, through maybe a third or a fourth of the game, you had to fight through different areas of time. I guess it's about more than half the game. But you had to fight through different areas of time and different sections of time in order to make your way toward Super Shredder in the end. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, Jack could fight through, like, in its alternate timelines, too, so it's kind of like, think of Resistance. Right, so remember how Resistance was an alternate timeline of American history?
Yes.
Where you fought, like, these alien weird creatures, the Chimera? Kind of that same concept, where you may see some pieces from history or some locations in history that you recognize, but it's going to be a little different than you may remember happening. So, Yield, how do you feel about this? Soleil Games, if you don't know what they are known for, their history is with Ninja Gaiden or Dead or Alive. Not necessarily the same studios, but some of the people who worked on those games are now working at Soleil Games. It's a hack and slash game, so Yield, I don't know, were you a fan of Samurai Jack, and how does a 3D hack and slash game for the PlayStation 4 sound to you?
So, I loved Samurai Jack. Cartoon Network Adult Swim, as I was, you know, getting into adulthood, that was, to me, like, the last hurrah for cartoons for me, you know? And Samurai Jack was one of those. It was adult-y, but yet still touched that kid in you, because it was still fun, but it was more edgy. And I loved it. And I saw this trailer for this game, and it had all the feels of watching a Samurai Jack episode. And I'm like, yes. I'm not big on... Okay, so this is going to sound stupid. I'm not big on hack and slash games, because I always feel that as seasoned gamer that I am, I'm better than that. But yet, I find myself in some games playing like a hack and slash, just spamming on a button, because that's the one thing that's working right now.
I'm really surprised, given that this is a hack and slash, that Platinum Games wasn't involved with this. Yeah, especially, I mean, yes, they've talked about how they're expanding, how they couldn't, you know, that makes me wonder, was Platinum, I mean, this is just conjecture, but was Platinum approached about this, and they're like, nah, we can't, we don't have enough people, and, you know, who knows?
And this was one of the reasons of why they wanted to expand, because it was like, oh, we so wanted to do that, but we couldn't, you know, you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, Soleil Games is a Japanese developer, so, I mean, they're in the area. I mean, Japan is, you know, not a small island, but is still a very large place, and, you know, Solial Games doesn't necessarily work next to Platinum Games, but given that there's a hack and slash, like, I almost wonder what Platinum Games' take on it would have been, or even, like, if they were ever approached about doing this, because, again, Platinum Games is a well-known entity, I'd say at this point, a household name in the video game industry, and you would have to think that if you were making a game like this, that you would at least consider partnering with Platinum Games.
You would, yeah. You would hope so. But, yeah, I'm so ready for this. I mean, unless things steer away from this original trailer, I'm basically shut up and take my money. Give me my game.
Yeah, because, I mean, not that this proves that the game is going to be good, but to give you some credence to how good this show was, it won an Emmy. So it's not just some, like, shitty cartoon. Like, it's not an afterthought. Like, this is a much beloved award-winning cartoon.
It was really good. I've been wanting to either buy the whole series or definitely watch the last season that they brought back. Well, what was it, a few years ago? They brought the show back to finish it up. Oh.
Well, that makes me, like, because in the article it talks about how it came out in 2001 and ran until 2004, and then they eventually brought it back in 2017 to finish it. Was it left on a cliffhanger for all those years?
See, Adult Swim was always on late at night, so I was catching it, and I don't know if I was catching it in order or not. So I don't know where I stopped at, but I would think that they never actually had the final battle where Jack got to fight Aku. So I think that's why they finally, you know, in 2017, they brought it back so they could finish the story.
Yeah, the game looks absolutely gorgeous. At least
it looks just like the cartoon. If you remember the cartoon of Samurai Jack, then that's what the game looks like. And of course, it's probably all cutscenes, but still, the game can't be far from the cutscenes. Not with today's platform.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like the look of the game, Solial Games has done an amazing job. And you know, the article talks about it being a summer window release. Although at the bottom it says the release date September 30th, 2020, that could be a placeholder date, and then, you know, it may be moved up, or, you know, who knows, maybe it may be delayed. But look for that this summer. So, I mean, Yield, that's on your list? You're playing that after you get done with The Last of Us Part 2?
Oh, yeah. Unless something happens between now and then that makes me go...
You mean Ghost of Tsushima?
Oh, no, I'll just work some overtime and buy them both. I mean, if something happens between now and then that makes it look like, oh, you know what, maybe I should hold off and wait on that, I'm picking this up.
No, but I was more saying, which do you play first, Ghost of Tsushima or Samurai Jack?
Man, that's a good one.
You didn't think you were going to have to think that hard tonight?
No, I didn't, because, you know...
Usually we just get on here and spit shit out and don't
even
think about it.
Ghost of Tsushima, I can't talk tonight. Sucker Punch. You know what? Maybe I would go with Ghost of Tsushima. Can't talk tonight.
Hey, earlier I was stumbling over Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so...
Yeah, so I'd probably go with Sucker Punch. But then I'd dive right into Samurai Jack. I'd back-to-back Samurai games.
Who knows? Solial Games might change your mind, Yield.
They might very well.
And I didn't even know Adult Swim had a publishing company. At least for video games.
Oh, they did. Without Googling it, I think it started a few years ago. No more than like 3 to 5. Did you watch Samurai Jack back in the day?
I did not, actually. Oh. Surprisingly, all my friends did, but I did not. All right, well, that is going to bring us to the end of our topics, but we do have some listener questions from the Facebook group to answer for you guys. Andrew writes, what is a minor inconvenience on the PlayStation or any other platform that irrationally annoys you? Mine is how demos and alpha beta testing versions of the game are lumped in with your games list. Why are they not separate? And he is, as he wrote that, he was shaking his fist with his little asterisk. Yield? Would you like to field this question first?
So, mine would be the lack of the fact of demos. And I know demos are still there. They're just hidden under the demo tab. That's something I don't check regularly, and it doesn't really seem like they promote it like they used to, of, hey, we got a demo out for this game. Another thing with the demos is that it's always tied with the game, especially the PSN games. So if you want the demo, you got to download like the entire game, which I understand for the developer is easy. Then instead of having to code a separate demo, then to code a game, I get that. But from a consumer's point, I just want to download the demo part and play it. And if I like it, I'll buy the whole game. And then the other thing for me, and it's always been a thing here on the show, is of how the PSN just never feels right in its organization or its search engine. And I feel that it should be way better than what it is. And that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I guess for me, typing or entering anything like an email or a password with my PlayStation controller and trying to use that like on a keyboard is really fucking annoying. I cannot stand using a controller to, be it like a regular television remote or something like that, like on a Roku, or like I said, the PlayStation controller, to sit there and hunt and peck for letters. It's really especially annoying if like I have 4 passwords and I can't remember exactly which one I sign in with, because I'm usually signed in and I stay signed in, and there's that one time when I get kicked off and I'm signed out and I gotta sign back in and I can't remember which fucking password I use. That is really annoying.
That is annoying.
Tricky did update Andrew's question to say that you can now delete the demos and alpha/beta testing versions of games off of your console. So we also have a question from our friend Levi. This is in regards to the Twisted Metal series. Of course, I made mention of Twisted Metal Black and the Twisted Metal series last week. Is the Twisted Metal series dead? Do you foresee a revitalization or any remakes? Twisted Metal is my favorite series for the PS1, and I loved 1 through 4, didn't play anything after that. And of course, Levi, he made mention of my comment, my bold statement, he said, of Twisted Metal Black being the best Twisted Metal game. His, of course, is number 4. Different strokes for different folks, Levi, but I definitely support your individuality and the fact that you like Twisted Metal 4. That's totally legit. But please, you know, at some point, play Twisted Metal Black, because it's an amazing game. But yeah, so to answer Levi's question, and Yield, you're not much of a Twisted Metal fan, are you?
No, I've never played any of the Twisted Metal games.
You're a racing guy, and I know it's not racing. It's like racing, you know, towards not death. But, I mean, like Vigilante 8, like all those old car combat games, I figured they'd be right up your alley, especially with how much you liked Split Second.
I know, and it's just that era. Well, I didn't really own a PlayStation 1. I didn't own a PlayStation 1. I bought a few games, and my brother had a 1, so I bought a few games, and I'd go into his room and play them on it. I was more of a 2 guy, and at that point, like I said, it was early in adulthood, so I was going for more adult-themed. Anything that was kind of kid-themed or I felt was kid-themed or didn't grab my attention, I was just kind of like, nah, I'm better than that, and kind of would turn my nose up.
As far as Twisted Metal goes, it's one of my favorite series too, Levi. Like, I grew up on it, and my friends and I in middle school used to play Twisted Metal and Twisted Metal 2 all the time. I grew up on Twisted Metal, especially Twisted Metal 2, and I like getting Twisted Metal Black and how excited I was just to play the game and the expanded stories for the characters and how much they fleshed out the characters and the fact that the cars were super cool and how many cars there were and the boss fights. Like, I was totally into that game and into that series, which is why I was so disappointed with the PlayStation 3 Twisted Metal that came out when they tried to revitalize it. I was so excited when they brought the ice cream truck out with Sweet Tooth onto stage. I think it was at E3.
I believe you're right.
I was so hyped. Like, I was all over that.
Shut up.
The game came out, I bought it, and it's just, it wasn't as good. It did not live up to the legend of the series of Twisted Metal, and I feel like it's a series they could bring back. And the sad thing was is they brought back David Jaffe, who was the creator of Twisted Metal back in the old days of the PlayStation 1, and they brought him back to work on the PS3 game, and it didn't hit right. I would have to go back and play it to say specifically what it was about the game, but it was not as good as the games that I grew up on. I would love to see Sony take another crack at it, and I definitely think they could at some point. I think it's on the back burner now. I think it's kind of hibernating because it's not something that I don't think that Sony thinks they can make enough money off of now. It's not as hot of a property as it once was. I think to bring it back on the 4 after it kind of flopped on the 3 would be a mistake. Wait to the 5, or maybe, you know, release all the big games you have for the 5. You know, you've got your Horizon 2, you've got another God of War, you have The Last of Us Part 2, you know, do a PS5 version of that, PS5 version of Ghost of Tsushima, and, you know, whatever else you want to bring out. But leave Twisted Metal, if you're going to bring it back at the towards the end or middle of the 5, maybe the 6, but I think right now is the wrong time to bring it out because, like I said, the 3 version flopped, and I don't think Sony has enough backing or believes they can make enough money off of the game or have enough support from gamers or drum up enough excitement from Twisted Metal to bring it back at this point. I think they will bring it back, because there's definitely a timeline for Twisted Metal, right? Because most of the people who grew up playing Twisted Metal are in their 30s or maybe their 40s, maybe their late 20s. So you don't want to let it get too far out where those people are like, you know, hey, like I'm in my 50s or my 60s and I don't really play games as much anymore, although that may be different for our generation. But I definitely don't think they want to let it lay dormant for too long, because then the younger generations, like, they didn't grow up on Twisted Metal, so there's not like that nostalgia for it. And while they may bring new people in with, you know, awesome gameplay and, you know, like great stories, a lot of their audience is, you know, at the point where they have families, they may not game as much, but they still remember Twisted Metal, and if they brought it back at the right time, those people would still be excited for it. So I think it's a dormant franchise right now. I think Sony is smart to kind of let it lie and let, you know, absence make the heart grow fonder. So I think once we get to another console, once we get full swing of the 5, maybe heading towards the 6, that's a smart time to bring around Twisted Metal, because we've got people asking for another Sly Cooper game, people are wondering where Ratchet is. I think that it is smart to manage your properties like Sony is, to where they're making sequels to their hot properties, and every once in a while they bring out the Sly Coopers, they'll bring out maybe every other generation of Twisted Metal or something like that, maybe one big Ratchet game a generation from now on. But I think that right now we're not going to see a Twisted Metal game anytime soon, but I think within the next 5 years we will see another one, because it's too much of a beloved Sony property, and it's too classic a series for them just to kind of whittle away and let waste away after what happened with the PS3 version. So
I agree with what you're saying. I think it would be more of a mid-5 release. You've got a lot of people clamoring for Siphon Filter, especially after the hit that Days Gone was from Ben Studio. So there are still talks of revamping or rebooting old franchises that I could very much see Twisted Metal being in that pipeline. It's just, it's gotta wait its turn, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement for Sony games, a plethora of Sony games at this point, and I think that Twisted Metal would kind of get lost in that bunch if they were like, hey, Twisted Metal's back. I think they kind of got to go their current course, and then, again, at a later time, when there's a little bit more of a lull, be like, hey, y'all, Sweet Tooth back.
Yeah, and Sony's been kind of taking it easy with that, because people were clamoring for years for Crash to come back. And they were even kind of trolling the fans with it, you know?
Well, that was Activision. That wasn't Sony.
Well, but no, I mean, didn't Sean come out 1 year at E3 with a Crash t-shirt on? And everybody was thinking,
quite possibly. I mean, there were teases to Crash coming back for a while, and then finally they you know, Activision pulled the trigger on it. Well, I mean, Activision put out games throughout the generations. I mean, they were on, like, they had Crash games on all these different consoles, you know, some that worked, some that, you know. Sadly, once Crash was out of Naughty Dog's hands and went to Activision and Universal, it was not very good for Crash. Crash's games, like, they tried new things, but overall, like, the Crash games really suffered out of Naughty Dog's hands.
Yes.
So Crash was always kind of around, but he did, you know, kind of stay away for a little bit, but finally they did the right thing, and like, hey, people really love these old Crash games. Let's just remake those and drum up more excitement until we can finally do what's right with the Crash series and make a new good game.
Yes.
Instead of Mind Over Mutant.
That's a game?
Yeah, it was a game. You were Crash and you could control giant monsters and use them to beat up other monsters. It was kind of a gameplay mechanic.
Gotcha. And it wasn't very good.
No, they even tried in Crash Twinsanity to have a gameplay mechanic where, well, it was kind of the whole story theme where you and Cortex were kind of tied together, and your kind of, you being kind of hand in hand, worked into the combat and kind of puzzle solving and just the general flow of the game. Not a bad idea, but, I mean, Crash Twinsanity did have its highlights, but at the overall, like, it was not a quality Crash game. As we had come to expect.
Gotcha.
Well, thank you, Andrew and Levi, for your questions. As always, please feel free to drop some questions for us on the Facebook page. And that is going to bring us to the end of our show and our housekeeping. We're going to clean this shit up and get out of here for the week. If you want to get a hold of us, you can contact us on Twitter at Proven Gamer. You can also contact us via the Trophy Horse email at trophyhorse@provengamer.com. We also have a phone number that you can call and leave a message for us. Yield, what's that phone number?
330-PROVEN-9, 330-776-8369.
Of course, there's always the Facebook page as well that you can use to get a hold of us and leave us some questions for the show. If you use Twitch, we are also there streaming very often. You can come watch what we're playing at twitch.tv/Proven Gamer. It is absolutely forward slash, and I probably sound like a moron after all these episodes of saying backslash. If you like what we do here on Trophy Horse, listen to our other shows on the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, PG Spoilers, and Game Stuff. Where can you find these shows? Well, you can find them on Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes. You can also find them on Stitcher, various podcast apps, Google Play, Pandora, TuneIn, and you can find Trophy Horrors on iHeartRadio, Spotify, I was about to say Pandora again, and Pandora! Let's hammer the point home. We also have PlayStation 4 communities. There are three of them. Yield, do you remember?
Yes! The show has one called Trophy Vores.
That's with two V's instead of a W.
With two V's instead of a W. That's how we got past it. The site has one called Proven Gamer, and I have one called the Platinum Guild.
Yeah. Sly Cooper may be a thief, but we're like nimble ninjas. Like, we know how to get around and do some recon and make sure that we can get the proper name for our show up on the PSN.
That's right, even if it takes us a while.
Sponsors for the show, we are proud to be affiliated with the Humble Bundle. If you don't know what the Humble Bundle is, it is a charity initiative that every month bundles together digital goods and sells them to you at a price that you name. Now, they are tiered bundles for games, for digital media like books and stuff, where you can kind of name your price, but the more you pay, the more of the bundle you get. So if you pay like maybe a few bucks, you may get, you know, 3-4 of the games out of the bundle. But if you pay up to 20 bucks or so, you may get all 9 or 10 or however many games are in the bundle. You can definitely max it out. Still getting a great value for your money. If you have to pay 20 bucks, you'll get, you know, over 22. Generally, it's over $200 worth of value in games. So you're still making out like a bandit. And you're helping charity against a charity initiative. So give as much as you can, even if, you know, you can get by just paying $2. You can also sign up for their electronic newsletter to keep abreast of the latest news from Humble Bundle. And I'll always put the partnership page, or the link to our partnership page with Humble Bundle, in the description for every show on ProveReadyGamer.com. Yield, why don't you tell our listeners about Amazon and how we're partnered with them?
So, when you go to ProveReadyGamer.com, or if you go, well, I shouldn't say if. So, when you go to ProveReadyGamer.com to check out a past article that was written, or to listen to the show while you're on your laptop, you'll see an ad on the side for Amazon.com. Click that ad. It'll take you straight to Amazon, and you can do your shopping, because who doesn't shop at Amazon anymore? And a small...
People complain that Amazon's going to take over the world, and we're all going to be employees of Amazon, but they still shop there, because they need toilet paper thrown to their house by a giant.
Or delivered by a drone.
Delivering Alexa's by catapult.
Ooh. Alexa, catch me.
That would hurt if you got hit in the face with one of those things.
That would hurt. So, when you finish your shopping at Amazon, a small amount of the proceeds of what you just bought gets kicked our way, and we get to keep the lights on, get the nice recording studio, nice comfy chairs. We get sent Tricky on vacation so he does not hear it when we record. Stuff like
get
that.
Get to keep Coca-Cola in the fridge.
Coca-Cola in the fridge.
Mexican Coke with that real cane sugar.
You know, I've never had that.
You can find it here in the States. You ought to seek it out.
I should seek it out.
I mean, if you're a fan of Coke.
I don't. I'm more of a Pepsi guy, but I will drink Coke.
Yield, you're telling me someone as smart as yourself prefers Pepsi to Coke?
Yeah, I do.
Is it because Pepsi owns Mountain Dew?
No, you know, see, I'm not much of a Mountain Dew guy. I'm a Code Red guy when it comes to Mountain Dew, which people at work think I'm absolutely crazy, but I prefer Code Red over regular Mountain Dew. I don't know why. Maybe it's because my parents were Pepsi drinkers when I was growing up, although my grandfather had Coke, and when I would go to his house, I got to drink all the Coke I wanted. I mean, I can drink both, but I prefer, like, it, like if there are two options in a pop machine, Pepsi or Coke, I'm going Pepsi first. Now, if I'm out of Pepsi...
That's right. The Ohioans say pop.
Pop. Yeah, we don't say soda. And if Pepsi's out and it's only Coke, then I'll get a Coke. I won't be like... I won't walk away thirsty.
See, what you really should have done is gone Renegade and be like, I'm a Dr. Pepper man.
I'm a Dr. Pepper man. You know, I did go through a phase where I was a root beer man.
A root beer man?
Root beer man. Barks. Mug.
I mean, yeah, I grew up on Barks, the red cream soda as well.
Yeah.
Also Mug root beer. But I will say that I don't get root beer all that often, but I feel like that's one thing you never grow out of. It's like,
yeah,
maybe every 10 years you have one. It's like, oh yeah, I like root beer. I'll crack one of those open and have one right now.
You know, A&W. I always mean to. I never do this. I'll always, you know, I'll get me like a 12-pack of root beer. And I'll be like, you know what? We need to get some vanilla ice cream. I need to make a root beer float. And then I'll either end up eating the ice cream or drinking all the root beer before we have both.
You know, it's been so long since I had a root beer float that I don't eat many carbs. I kind of try to abstain from sugar. But a root beer float sounds like it would hit the spot right about now.
I'm telling you, man. It does, doesn't it? You know what?
With a side of chocolate chip cookies, like some chocolate chip cookies like stuffed into the vanilla ice cream.
You know what? You need to treat yourself to that. Maybe instead of vanilla ice cream, if we get chocolate chip ice cream and then root beer float that.
Ooh. What about cookie dough ice cream?
Or cookie dough, cookies and cream. Oh, darn it, Alex. I need.
Well, all we're doing is making ourselves hungry and maybe you all too. Trying to tempt you all with some sweets. If you like what you hear on Trophy Horrors, please consider supporting us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/provinggamer. There's all kinds of levels that Tricky set up for support. You can become a Patreon producer like Felicia Steph. Thank you, Felicia, for your continued support. And just go. If you want to support us financially, please feel free to go to patreon.com and look at all the levels we have set up and choose which way that you would like to support the show. And even if you can't, you know, throw a little money our way, we totally understand. One way you can really help us, though, and probably the most important way you can help us is word of mouth. Tell the people about the show. Tell your friends, your family, your coworkers. Maybe not your grandparents, because we're a little bit too saucy on here for most grandparents. But if you want to help us, just advertisement, word of mouth. Wear your Trophy Horrors hoodies proudly, or your Proven Gamer hoodies, I should say.
I was wearing mine the other day.
Although we did have, Tricky did make Trophy Horrors, didn't he? No. It was the new PG logo with the controllers for the P and the G. That's what he made. He didn't make Trophy Horrors specific ones.
No, he didn't.
Get ahead of myself there. What did you think of the size, kind of not to hash this out on the show, but what did you think of the size of logos? Because one of the things we noticed with the logo on the hoodie was way too small.
They're small. It is, because the old hoodies, it was much bigger. Or I should say old hoodies. The old logo on a hoodie was much bigger. So yeah, it does need to be bigger. The one thing I was talking to Tricky about, and don't know if it's going to make it happen. I was like, man.
Koozies. You want koozies for cans.
No, I want a flex fit hat.
A what?
A flex fit hat, you know.
Oh, you mean like a ball cap?
A ball cap. And what we were talking about before you called me, him and I were chit-chatting. I was like, man, we need a flex fit is a type of fitted hat. It's not like you don't have to know your head size. It's like large, medium, small, medium, large, extra large. So, you know, it's elastic, so it kind of stretches. I was like, you know what would be really cool? And this is just me talking. I'm like, if we could get a flex fit hat.
Well, I hope it's you talking, because if it's anybody else, I'd be freaky as fuck after this long of just being me and you.
It would be.
Who the fuck is lurking on this line?
If we could get one that had a Trophy Horse logo on the front and the PG logo on the back, I'm like, that would be slick. Unfortunately, it'd probably be super expensive, but that would be slick.
I work in a cooler all day, so like a toboggan or like a knit cap or a beanie or whatever you want to call it. That would be super cool for me, a little Trophy Horse logo on the front, so when I'm walking out of the coolers all day, I can represent Trophy Horse and keep my head warm. And, you know, hopefully my ears, because that's the part that gets really cold. I don't like my ears get cold.
You ever get one of those microfiber ones? Those work, man. When I was working at the lumber yard, one of our suppliers gave us, all of us yard guys, one of those like microfiber stocking caps. Oh man, when it got cold out, you didn't know it.
See, I'm flush with hoodies because our vendors give us hoodies all like quite regularly. Hats, though, I'm a little lacking. And a knit cap is about as far as I will take it, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not super into haberdashery, because I kind of look stupid as hell with a hat on, especially a ball cap. I avoid those like the plague. I avoid those like Sony avoids PAX East.
Oh, too soon? Too soon?
No, it is not too soon. It is, in fact, very topical. All right, well, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. But before we get out of here, let's give some shout-outs. Yield, how about you start us off?
So, I'll give a shout-out to you, Alex, for hosting this week. I will give a shout-out to Tricky for playing hooky this week. Don't know where he is. Give a shout-out to you, the Pimps and the Maddows and the Whoredom. Thank you for downloading, listening, interacting with us. Shout-out to Homer, because even though he's one up on me on the Platinum Race, it may get ugly by the end of the year. You never know. You know how brothers get. But I think I can get him. I don't think, no.
Homer gets fluffed.
No, I'm going to get him, is how it's going to be. A shout out to the writers of IGN and GameInformer.com for where I pulled the articles from this week, for which we were talking about and entertaining you, the fans. And a shout out to the Facebook group, those of you who sent in questions and wanted our opinions on them. I kind of like this. It's kind of neat. Nice way to interact. So thank you for doing that. And you know what, folks? Help out on the PlayStation Player Celebration. Let's get all these achievements. Or not achievements. That's Xbox. Let's knock out all these games and trophies and get all the freebies. Let's do it.
I'm going to give a shout out to the listeners, the fuel to the fire of this Trophy Horse. Thank you all for your continued support. Without you all, Trophy Horse would not still be running and going and climbing to even greater heights like Kratos climbing out of the underworld. So thank you all very much for spending some time with us every week. We know how valuable time is, and we cannot ever convey how much we appreciate your support. Also give a shout out to Yield for putting together a terrific agenda on a week where, again, Sony wasn't in a pack, so there wasn't a ton of Sony news bursting out from the seams. A shout out to, you gave some credit to the writers at IGN as well as Game Informer. Give a shout out specifically to Brian Shea of Game Informer for his GDC article. I did not mention it, so I definitely want to give Brian Shea some love for his hard work in putting together all that information. Also, give a shout out to Platinum Games for being awesome, making fun games. Like I said, they don't always hit, but when they do, they're a riot. And good news to hear them expanding. We can use more Platinum Games in our life. So glad to hear that they now have two offices and potentially 100 more employees. Lastly, I'll give a shout out to Tricky too. Tricky could not join us this week, so hopefully he will be back next week to spread cheer and joy to all the listeners here in Trophy Horse Land. And lastly, I want to give a shout out to my loving girlfriend Ashley. I love you, honey. And that is going to bring us to the end of this week's show. Thank you all for listening, and until next week on episode 423, happy trophy hunting.
See ya. Save your last rest and riddle me this. Save your last words.
The theme song is Venus by the band Even off their album Zenith. Permission granted by the band and 12 Stone Records. You can find them on Facebook by going to www.facebook.com/evenphilippines.